you supposed to know the real history of Dallas if no one is sharing the story with you?
You're listening to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community. Thanks for being here.
Hey, y'all, it's Chris. I am so excited to be here today. The only thing that I can say is that I wish that you were here with me, right? Gina and I did an interview with Will Evans from Deep Ellum Publishing. And honestly, this was a fantastic interview. I am so excited for you to hear it. This is a truncated version. If you want to hear the full thing, please go to our Facebook page. I hope you enjoy.
Okay, so Will, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I'd love to get into some of the stuff we talked about yesterday because I think that's going to be super interesting. But could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Deep Ellum and why it's important to you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's a big topic. Where to begin? I'm not very interesting, but a little bit about me is I grew up in North Carolina. I grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I've always been a reader, which is what has led me indirectly from my mom reading to me from the youngest age and just like me devouring every book in our house and going to the library and just devouring every book there. I went off to college in Atlanta and I had been interested in like Russian literature or just Russian culture before I got to college. And so when I got to college, I took Russian 101 and then a 19th century Russian literature course. And that course changed my life. Amazing professor.
Wow. Not something you normally hear about Russian culture.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Russian literature is like the gateway to Russian culture for most people, right? Like even if you don't know anything about Russia, you usually know who Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and Chekhov are, right? Sure. They're like the big three. They're three of the greatest writers in any languages of any time period. And I was really attracted to this idea too, because I was like a really naive 17-year-old kid when I went to college, right? They're like, I thought everybody would be sitting around in the quad talking about like the big ideas of life. And then my second week of college, September 11th happened and like the whole world changed like completely, like while we're there. And things started happening in real time, you know? But the thing that really attracted me to Russian literature, and one of the reasons I love this course, is that like Russian literature is all about addressing the big questions of life through art, with the idea that the art, writing, reading can change the world. And I was like, you know, very impassioned by that and still am. And it became like Russian became my major, my primary major in college. And like, I thought I would go get a PhD. And after being accepted to a PhD program in Russian literature, I turned it down to go on tour with the band. So I ended up working in the music business for 5 years.
What band?
I toured with a band called He Is Legend.
Shut up. Are you serious?
You know He Is Legend?
I know He Is Legend.
Well, that's so great. They're my They're my best friends from home. And we all grew up together. I was in a band with those guys in high school and I quit to go to college because, you know, we were like a high school band and they got Skylar to sing. And Skylar's like most talented, amazing dude. And they became like a real band after that. Wow. And so they would always come stay with me in Atlanta when I was in college and they got signed and were touring and doing really well. They were always like, come on tour. And I was like, man, I'm in college. Let me finish. And then when I finished college, they're like, we have this big tour planned with a band called From First to Last. Do you remember them?
I don't.
Everybody now knows the singer from First to Last is Skrillex, mega superstar.
Okay.
Yeah. But they were doing really well at the time and they got on this tour and they said, come on tour with us. And I said, you know, this PhD program, it'll be here. Why not go on tour? So that's when I grew the mustache and got tattooed and all that fun stuff. And so I remember the first time I ever rolled through Dallas with those guys in 2005. It was my first time ever in Texas, my first time ever in Dallas. And we rolled up and it was like, why does this city exist? It was so hot. It was so paved over. The suburbs go on for 1,000 miles.
So many people that come to Dallas as visitors say that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then having lived here a while, I'm like, oh no, I don't. I hate that, but I get it.
Beautiful thing. And you know, I it's a great question to ask, like, why does any city exist? Why does Atlanta exist, right? It's a city I'm very familiar with. All my mom's family's from there. And Dallas like has this myth about it. And when I found out I was going to move to Dallas, it was like 2012. My wife got a job offer at a law firm here in Dallas and she's from Weatherford. So we wanted to settle down near family and it was a great job here. And so we came and on her first day, it was like May 2012. And she went to go work at the law firm in one of the skyscrapers downtown. And I was like, I'm going to go on a walking tour of Dallas and I'm going to find out why Dallas exists. And this will tell you everything you need to know about me because like, I'm really curious. I ask these questions and I go like find out. I'm a total nerd and I love diving in. And I walked around downtown and it was like 105 already. Like it was so hot. And I walked from Victory Park where we were staying to the Old Red Museum. And you go in the Old Red Museum. You guys ever been there? The Courthouse Museum?
Yes. No.
So it's the Dallas County Museum. And the reason Dallas exists is on every wall in there. It's the myth of Dallas. And it's a fascinating topic. And the idea is that Dallas doesn't exist for any reason. But a city was built here by men into a great beacon of commerce and prosperity. Right?
Okay, I think I actually bought a book from Deep Vellum about the myth of Dallas.
Yeah,
I've read it's small, right? It's like small and thin. Anyway,
I think it's called Imagining Dallas is the book.
Yes,
it was published by that book was published by the Dallas Institute of Humanities and Culture in the 80s, and it's never been updated. And the myth of Dallas is something they confront. But anytime you confront like the mythology of Dallas or Texas, you fall victim to the mythology of it a little bit, you know? Like Texas is the best. It's its own country. Yeah, we do what we want. Yeehaw. And like Dallas Cowboys mentality here in the city, like, we're fancy. Oh, Dallas is a fancy town. Look at us. But no one here wears cowboy hats. Because Dallas Cowboys have never played a game of football in the city of Dallas in their entire careers.
Right.
Yet they define the city. And so there's something insidious about this myth that the city exists for no reason. Because it's like the city exists because there was water here, there were trees, and there were a bunch of white dudes who showed up and they were like, this land is mine now.
Right.
Yeah. And then through backroom deals, they turned Dallas into a city of commerce by getting the first railroad crossroads in the state built here, which is the same reason why Atlanta exists. And then the first highway crossroads, and then the first international airport. And so Dallas became a city on the way to everywhere. Mm-hmm. That's cool. The idea of like building something and encouraging development here by welcoming outsiders, because Dallas is a city built by people who weren't from here traditionally. Everybody comes here to like get in. You can have great meetings with people. When I first moved to Dallas, I went and I tried to meet everybody in the city. And one of the people I met was Rachel Triska from Life in Deep Elm. And she was like, what you are doing is cool. I want to help.
This points to one of the main issues that we were talking about yesterday, right? So like we have like a very global society, whether we like it or not. Yeah. And I think we've moved into like our the way that we think about art and culture and science and whatever else has been monopolized or corporatized or whatever you want to say. But it seems to me that what you're doing with Deep Vellum is just a small slice of trying to push back against that impulse a little bit, like politically and with like this particular community, Dallas in particular. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, thank you. It's good. Gina wasn't on the call yesterday. So now I'm getting like, me and Gina are like one rabbit hole. You and I went down another yesterday. So
okay, really quick. In your question, Chris, you're saying like, you just brought like the problem of not having the voices of like other cultures, right? You brought it to the Dallas that we just talked about, where you said Dallas had no reason for being here. There's a myth about it. It's a bunch of businessmen, and now we're here. There's a bunch of skyscrapers, there's highways. And so like I just think that's, I don't know. I just wanted to remind everyone, anyone who watches this or listens that like, we're talking about bringing those two ideas together, and that's an interesting question.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the question of like, why Dallas is the same reason why Deep Vellum. And you know, the inspiration for Deep Vellum came when my wife got the job offer here, and I was looking at what Dallas had. And so it was because I got an interest, by the way, the book I translated ended up getting published by another publisher. This is the book I translated. It's called Fardwar Russia by a guy named Oleg Kashin. It's very funny, strange little political satire. A really great snapshot of Russia in 2010. And I got interested in publishing and in translation. And I was like, what if I worked at a publishing house in Dallas? And so I Googled Dallas publishing houses. And the first Google result that popped up was SMU Press shuts down, last literary publisher in Dallas. And I was like,
whoa.
Okay, what if I go work at a bookstore? Google Dallas bookstores. And it was at the time, remember, it was 2011, 2012, no independent bookstores in Dallas. None. Ninth largest city in the country. No independent bookstores, no literary publishing houses. And SMU shut down its press overnight without really wanting anyone. SMU had a cool thing too, which is a bummer. But I was like, what if I and then like that night I was reading a blog of a publisher called Open Letter Books. And their blog is called 3%. And it's all about the issues of translation and publishing, right? Mm. Publishing is a weird industry. There's not a lot of information about it, right? You don't go study publishing in college. There's like two programs in America to go study publishing. Mm. And they both, if anything, will get you into the New York publishing corporate structure. Mm-hmm. And I was reading this guy's blog, and in the blog, he's like, if you care about the issues of publishing and translation and bringing more international voices, that start your own publishing house. We need more people doing it. And I was like, I was publishing house in Dallas. And I looked around Dallas, like, what does Dallas have? Wow. Right? And I Googled around. I mean, I remember I was Googling. I was far away. I hadn't even been to Dallas at this point.
Still 2011.
This is like 2012, like early 2012. Okay. And I was finishing my master's degree. And I was like, maybe late 2011. But I was looking at Dallas and I was like, the city, you can read a lot about a city online, right? And it was like reading about the Arts Office of Arts and Culture. I was reading about how the Bishop Arts District was then being redeveloped, how Deep Ellum had been this beacon of culture for a long time, and it was very run down at the time. And it was just all this. And it was like, look at this city that is primed for the literary arts. Yep. There were cool literary groups here and cool literary people doing cool things, but it was like all the dots hadn't really connected, right? The Office of Arts and Culture had never funded a literary project before. Why? Okay, you look at the Arts District, right? This beautiful, gorgeous, amazing collection of architecture in the high arts. There are no literature in there. Okay, why? What's going on here? And like, what would be the missing piece to have a city that has a robust city of writers and readers, translators, and then the discussion about them and bridging between all the other art forms? So I came up with the idea to do Deep Vellum based on what I thought Dallas had in abundance, which is really cool things going on there, totally underrated. And then what it needed, which was like some sort of synthesis, some sort of community built around this idea of the literary arts. I call it the literary arts now too, because literature as a term has been exclusionary throughout history, right? Whether it's exclusionary in terms of class, in terms of it being all in New York and we're here in Texas, in terms of race, in terms of gender, everything about publishing has been bad for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, how can I build this bigger tent where like everybody in Dallas could get together and celebrate? And if I build this business plan well, I know translations via this world that I'm in. What if we do translations? And then once I get to know some people in Dallas, we'll start publishing Dallas people. Because I have a hunch, and this is before I didn't know anyone in Dallas when I moved here. It was, what if Dallas writers are as underrepresented as foreign authors? Like, what if? It seems like a hunch, right?
Well, and everything you had learned up to that point was like, probably.
Probably, right?
What's the vellum?
Another great question. Thank you.
Yeah, Chris, I know you have,
no, that's fine.
Questions too, but you know, you love Deep Ellum. Deep Ellum's history alone is like, I love to hear all the stories about it when I can. And so, yeah, but you have a V there.
All right, two stories here, right? One is the story I built after the real story. Right? I built the myth after the real thing.
Okay, and
just like,
cool.
Just like John Neely Bryan, he founded Dallas, and he's like, gotta come up with a crazy story about this to get everyone here. Same sort of thing happened with me. I was like, I'm gonna found a publishing house in Dallas. What should I call it? And I had a list, and I put it on Facebook because I'm bad at coming up with names. It's just not my forte. Yeah. First response, you have to call it Deep Vellum.
What?
Fucking so brilliant. That was it. It was a guy I worked with.
Are you serious?
In Moscow for a summer, and he was from Austin. And I was like, he's right. And my wife was like, it's got to be Deep Vellum. That's definitely the name. And then I got like 1,000 responses. And
you didn't give
a
reason?
None of them fit the right way. So vellum, it's a pun, right? That's it. It's just a funny pun.
Right.
Vellum is a fascinating material. And this is the myth now, right? Of Deep Vellum. It's just a pun on the most important neighborhood in Dallas to me. And in terms of like the arts and culture of this region, Deep Ellum is the only place in this region that everyone comes together for a good time, no matter your socioeconomic background, background, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you come to Deep Ellum. It's the 100%. Only melting pot place like that in this region, right? It is historically the music here, the film here, the theaters here, the literature here, the writers, the characters who've lived in this neighborhood. It's where I wanted to be. It's because it feels like a city. When you're in Deep Ellum, you're in a city, you're part of a city. And that's a beautiful idea, this like civic idea of being a part of something, a community larger than yourself. is really beautiful. And Deep Elm is one of the few places in Dallas where you can feel like you're in a city. We got a lot of big buildings in Dallas that are really pretty at night when they're all lit up, but it doesn't feel like a city down there.
Right.
If it wasn't a city when you're in Deep Elm. And I loved it. I just wanted to be a part of it. And so when this pun came up, I was like, oh my God, it's so good. And vellum, the interesting thing about vellum as a pun is that it works on so many levels, because vellum is the reason we can read the ancient Greeks, like who wrote like Socrates and read the Odyssey and stuff like that, is because those stories were written down on vellum, which was used to be a type of parchment material made from stretched leather. And it lasted. It's very durable and lasted through thousands of years.
That's why it lasted.
Yeah. The Gutenberg Bible, which is maybe the most famous printed object in the history of the Western world, was printed and bound in vellum. And it was like a leathery material. These days you can go to like a paper store, like Papyrus or Paper Arts. Mm-hmm. And when you go there, you can get vellum, which is now a type of paper.
Okay, life in Deep Ellum, or a cultural center in Deep Ellum, but we do have a faith community at our core, right?
Yes.
And so where Deep Ellum, you know, is not a faith community by any means, where do you, well, or is in some form or fashion, mm-hmm. but where do you see the overlap between missions and our organizations? Like, where is our common good? We support, you know, you are one of our community partners, mm-hmm. and we love what you're doing. Do you see our missions overlapping? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So there's a couple things to unpack there. So I'll start first with the way the missions overlap. And I think it's what I mentioned. I met Rachel, who is obviously, I think the founder, or anyways, Rachel deeply invested in the leadership of Life in Deep Ellum.
And Rachel, Joel and Rachel, yeah, they're both the executive directors.
Yes.
Yeah, and when we met, it was like the idea of doing cool things in this neighborhood, to be true mm-hmm. community partners. Just to be open to that idea is the way that I want to operate. The mm-hmm. idea of being collaborative and supporting cool things that are happening outside of yourself, mm-hmm. without necessarily personal gain. This is something that would like lead us during this crisis in a time when, you know, Deep Ellum received some government support. We got subsidies and some loans to help us survive this crisis, right? Which is why we feel okay at the publishing house, right? Like we're going to survive. We're having our best year ever now because in large part, we got some support to get us through some really scary times, especially at the beginning of the pandemic.
When you happened.
So we took that, paid it forward, and we've given $20,000 to writers across the state of Texas during the past 6 months.
That's beautiful.
Because no one else is. We got government grants, but the government's not granting any money to writers.
Right.
And we asked the writers when they would apply, like, hey, you know, we did two rounds of funding. The first one was about $11,000 and the second one was about $9,000. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you're applying, can you just tell us like who you are, where you live, and have you lost your job because of the crisis? And like, what was your income before, right? And half the writers make less than $15,000 a year, right?
Wow.
And over half of them lost their primary source of income because of this. There is a human tragedy happening around us, not even just from those who are sick, but from those who are like feeling the lasting effects of this massive calamity.
Yeah.
And so like, what can we do is like, we can hopefully reach out to the community and support them the way that Life in Deep Ellum has supported us from day one. Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting in two respects. Like that's interesting because like one, I think you mentioned this yesterday, but like you guys are like right at this intersection of art and commerce. Right. So like there's this and that's actually like two of our four pillars of why we exist, like why Life in Deep Ellum exists. We want to support those things in the community. And then two, I think like this idea of going like, you know what, it's not even about me necessarily or what like Deep Ellum is doing, but instead like what can we do for other people? Right. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's really, really
cool. I mean, the mission of Life in Deep Ellum is great for me is like, look, they host Diverse Lounge. Diverse Lounge is the coolest literary event that happens in the city of Dallas, period.
I know.
It will be. And the writers who've come.
Shout out Will Ritchie.
Shout out Will Ritchie.
And AP.
Shout out some of the alumni that I've gotten to know over the years, like Topic, like Daryl Radcliffe, man, amazing people doing extraordinary things in town and in the world at large. And you look at that and like, every time I go into Mocha to get a cup of coffee, right? I'm like, look, if this was Austin, you know, this place would be overrun 24/7, right?
Yeah.
Dallas, and there'll be times I'm the only person sitting on the porch, and you're like, why does Dallas do this to itself? Oh, everything is a hidden gem in Dallas, right?
Yes. Except
yes. Things. But I love that, but that's neither here nor there. All that to say, you go into Mocha though at any given time, which of course for those not listening who may not have been in there, is the amazing coffee shop that's part of life. I have spent a lot of my hard-earned American dollars in there over the years, and I will continue to do so. But you go in there, and everyone in there, it's really funny, the community of people are people that we deal with in the social justice, mm-hmm. arts, and just nonprofit community of Dallas broadly.
Yeah,
like we have the executive directors of the best human rights legal fund in the city, sitting next to the leader of racial equity initiatives in Dallas, yeah. sitting next to the biggest funder in town of a family foundation, sitting next to the best artist, sitting next to like the literary nerd, me. Mm-hmm. And everyone's in this space. It's like natural. Everyone comes in there and gravitates because that's what Life in Deep Elm was created for. And that's the spirit that like, that's the overlap in mission. This is about community. It's about uplifting others, not just for yourself, but like for the whole community. And so that's why we started to publish local authors too, because we did find for sure that Texas writers and Dallas writers are underrepresented. And the story of Dallas is completely misunderstood, not just in New York, but in Dallas too. We don't even know our own story. How are you supposed to know the real history of Dallas if no one is sharing the story with you?
That's right.
You don't have the books to read. You don't have the grounding. We don't have the language with which to speak about the history of the city that we're a part of. We want people to elevate those voices, to bring the conversation together.
Which
Bellum is great because like, you know, you guys, I remember Rachel says too, she's like, we want to support you, but like, we're kind of a church. And I was like, you don't have the name church in your name. Cause you're just like, you don't just like talk the talk. You walk the walk. Yeah. That's what we do too. Right. We're an organization that's not faith-based. Well, we deal with writers from every faith around the world. We have writers of every major faith represented.
For
we have writers from 40 languages, 65 countries, right? That level of diversity, like the way that everyone can come together to share these stories.
Yeah.
It's like the thing that they talk about when they talk about interfaith dialogue. You don't read novels for interfaith dialogue per se, but how else? I mean, you don't know that Indonesia has the world's largest population of Muslims, right?
Right.
When was the last time you read an Indonesian woman author? Look, these are questions that I wonder too. And that's why we publish authors like that.
So all you Life in Deep Elm people, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. Go buy books specifically from Deep Elm Books.
Whoop, and Wild Detectives and Terror Bang.
Yes, that's right. Bye guys.